Last week, we looked at the passage about the people of Israel demanding a king. Having a king as their leader was not necessarily wrong, but their motive was problematic. They demanded a king because they rely more on human wisdom and power than on God's wisdom and power. God had sent them judges, but the Israelites basically thought that it was not a good idea to follow judges whom God would send. Instead, they increasingly became interested in following earthly kings who are the symbols of human wisdom and power. So, their demand for a king was not pleasing to God at all. Nonetheless, God allowed them to have a king. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 7 and 9. And the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly and let them know what the king who will reign over them will claim as his rights." So, God warned the people about the danger of relying on earthly kings, and then he allowed the Israelites to have a king. And as you know, Saul was anointed as their first king. At first, Saul was very humble, and it seemed that he could serve as a good king. In fact, he was able to defeat Ammonites who were becoming a threat to the Israelites in chapter 11. But Saul soon became arrogant and unfaithful to God. For example, he did something that only priests were allowed to do, ignoring God's instruction. More concretely, Saul offered a burnt offering by himself. At that time, that was priest's job, and that was the way God had instructed. So, Saul was not supposed to do it by himself, but he did. By the way, when Saul did it, Saul and his army were under the threat of the Philistines, and they were in a tense situation. Samuel was kind of late to come to the place of offering the burnt offering, so Saul became very anxious and offered the burnt offering by himself. So, what he did was kind of understandable, but essentially, he ignored God's instruction. So, Samuel said when he arrived at the place, 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 13 and 14. Samuel said, "You have done a foolish thing," Samuel said. "You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people. because you have not kept the Lord's command. In addition, Saul disobeyed God's instruction and kept the livestock of their another army, this time Amalekites, when Saul and his army defeated them. But before the battle against the Amalekites, God instructed Saul and his army to completely destroy the Amalekites. That means Saul and his army were not supposed to keep the livestock of Amalekites as like the prize of war. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 13 to 15. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear?" Saul answered, "The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest." So Saul blames his soldiers, and also he says that they kept the sheep and cattle as sacrifice to the Lord. But God did not say sacrifice the livestock of the Amalekites, but he said destroy completely. Normally, to sacrifice something to God is a good thing. But in this specific case, God's instruction was not sacrifice, but do not bring anything. Then Samuel says to Saul, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22 and 23. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." It is questionable if Saul really planned to sacrifice the livestock the army brought. But even if he had really planned to sacrifice the livestock they kept, that would have not been pleasing to God, because God's instruction was not sacrifice. In addition, without following God's instruction or God's guidance or wisdom, Saul was unable to lead the nation. Saul was given a very important mission as the leader of the nation. And in order to accomplish his mission as the king, the most important thing was to listen to God and follow his way. But sadly, Saul basically ignored God's guidance. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 17 to 19. Samuel said, "Although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission, saying, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Wage war against them until you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? Last week, I talked a little bit about being salt and light. We are called to be distinctive as God's people. And by being distinctive as salt and light, we can point people around us to God. That's our mission. And today, one of the mistakes Saul made in a passage I think we can learn that the first and the most important step toward serving as salt and light, that is to say, to accomplish our mission, if you will, is to listen to God. Before we do something as salt and light, we should humbly listen to God by reading the scriptures, praying to God, for example. Sometimes we are tempted to be salt and light in the way that we prefer. But like Samuel says, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. So, let us humbly listen to God and obey His way instead of our ways. And by doing so, we can serve God better, and we can enjoy the blessings of being the instrument of God. Now, I would like to quickly point out one more thing before closing this lesson. That is Saul's response to Samuel when Samuel pointed out the spiritual mistake of Saul. At first, Saul made excuses and tried to justify himself. But soon, he realized his mistake. I think the realization of a mistake is always important. The realization of a problem is the first step toward solving the problem. But in a passage, sadly, Saul did not know how he should deal with his problem. Basically, Saul's problem was his sin against God, and Saul understood that. But as far as we can see in the record in 1 Samuel chapter 15, Saul does not turn his heart to God, who can take care of the problem of sin. So, Saul does not pray to God when Samuel pointed out Saul's sin. Instead, Saul begs Samuel to take care of his problem. For example, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 24. And 25. Then Saul said to Samuel. Please note that Saul is talking to Samuel here. Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instruction. I was afraid of the men, and so I gave in to them. Now I beg you, forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord." So Saul asks only Samuel for help. Well, as the priest, Samuel might have been able to help Saul to some extent. But essentially, it was not Samuel, but God who can take care of Saul's problem of sins. Saul says to Samuel, "Forgive my sin," but the one who can forgive his sin was God. But Saul does not pray to God. After Judas Iscariot made a big mistake, his betrayal of Jesus, Judas regretted it and went to the chief priest and the elders, and he said to them, "I have sinned." But do you remember the response of the chief priest and the elders? They said, "What is that to us?" They replied, "That's your responsibility." They were mean, but sadly, they were right in a sense. They can't take care of the problem, the sin of Judas. Both Saul and Judas turned their heart to a wrong person as they tried to solve their problem called sin. When the disciples of Jesus realized how it is hard to solve the problem of sin, they asked, "Who then can be saved?" Then Jesus looked at them and said, With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Also, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." The one who can take care of our problem called sin is God, and we can come to Him and we can let Him take care of our problems. It is true that we can come to our friends and talk about our problems, but essentially only God can take care of our sins, and that's why God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to this world and to the cross. This is very famous, but John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." So let's continue to turn our heart to God and listen to Him. We are God's instrument, but we cannot serve God meaningfully and fruitfully without listening to Him and His listening to His word. And sometimes we fail. Sometimes we make mistakes spiritually. But let's remember, God is willing to take care of us as we humbly come to Him and submit ourselves to Him. What a wonderful grace that is. In conclusion, I'd like to quote 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Thank you very much.